for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cook.
Go tell that long tongue liar.
Oh, well, well.
Go tell that midnight rider.
Oh, well,
tell
well,
the gambler, the rambler, backbiter. Tell them God Almighty's gonna cut them down.
Stop, God Almighty, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dews. I've been down on my bending knees, talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke and he spoke so sweet. I thought I heard a shuffle of angels' feet. He put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said.
Go tell that long tongue liar.
Oh, well,
go
well,
tell that midnight rider.
Oh, well,
tell the gambler, the rambler, backbiter. Tell them God Almighty.
Good morning. Did everybody get that extra hour of sleep last night, or did everybody stay up late? What? No, we're just starting church early or something like that. I don't know. I saw a meme. I think I put it on our Facebook page last year that said, make sure to set your clocks back or arrive to church. Be one of those people that arrives to church early. And of course, it's Vincent Price in the picture. I want to welcome you to Mission Woods Church. We're glad that you are here. If you're out in our parking lot listening, if you're here in our sanctuary, of course, we welcome you. And also, if you're listening online, we are glad that you are here. I always begin our worship with a psalm. And I love the psalms so much because they're so honest. And you can actually find psalms that are referred to as cursing psalms. You're not going to find cuss words in there. So if you go looking, some of our young people always try and find the interesting parts of the Bible. But the psalmists are just so honest with God. When they're angry with God, they say so. When they're excited about what God's doing, they say so. And we tend to lean towards the positive ones for our calls to worship. But we've also had some things that were kind of rough. But today is a positive one. I'm reading from Psalm 127. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are their children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And so we hear that God blesses us with children, blesses us as we labor. God is the one that's in control. And as we come to God this morning, we come to offer ourselves in worship. So as we do that, I'm going to invite our worship lead team to come on up. And let's worship God together.
I am the Lord that He Help us to be still and know that you are here, that you are blessing us, that we do not do things in vain when we do them for you, Lord. Help us to focus on you, still our hearts and still our minds. Thank you for all our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now it's time for praise songs. If you want to do the Presbyterian workout program, you may stand up.
If you can't stand,
it's okay. We're going to start with In His Time. Soul, number 705.
Worship.
Good morning. You're all in a haze out there, so sorry. Gotta defog my glasses a little. There we go. I'm in a fog. This morning's theme is Jesus warned us of false teachers who would try to deceive us. And the scripture this morning comes from, there was problems at the house with cable, so it probably didn't come through. Sorry about that, folks. But anyways, the scripture this morning comes from Mark 13:5-6. out there long ago, for you older kids in the group, remember the song, "There's Signs, Everybody Sees Signs"? Well, we're going to be talking about signs. Everywhere we look, there's signs. There's stop signs, there's warning signs. Don't sit on the bench because it has fresh paint. Don't walk on the grass, all kinds of signs. This morning, we see them everywhere, and they warn us to beware of danger. When you're walking down the street and you pass a house, and it has a sign on the gate, it says, "Beware of dog." What do? Do you open the gate and go in and see the dog? No, you probably don't go in that yard unless you have permission or the people that own the dog invite you in, because the dog probably may bite if you don't. So I think I would stay out of that yard. Suppose you saw a sign that says, "Danger, high voltage." Do you think that would be a good place to fly a kite? No. I don't think so. I think I wouldn't fly a kite near something that said "danger, high voltage." If you're walking through the cafeteria in the school, and or through the halls somewhere in where you work, you see a sign that says "caution, wet floor." Is that someplace you go do a quick sprint through that area? No, I don't think so. Nope. Yeah, you do the Tom Cruise across the floor. Yep. No, that's a place that you would probably want to walk very carefully or even avoid that space, so that way you don't slip and fall, because you don't want to get hurt. It's good that we have signs that warn us of danger. They're there to keep us safe and keep us from doing very foolish things. Not good to ignore them, huh? One day, Jesus gave his disciples a warning. He warned them to be careful not to let false teachers deceive them. "Don't let anyone mislead you," he said. Many will come claiming to be the Messiah, and some will follow them. Imagine that you saw a man standing on the street corner holding up a sign that said, "Warning, the end is near." And he was preaching to the people that would pass by. He claimed to know the day and the time that the world would come to an end. He spoke of earthquakes, wars, famine. He claimed that these things are signs that are telling us the world was going to end soon. Jesus warned us about those people too. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, keep your head and don't panic. Yes, those things will happen, but it doesn't mean the end is near. When you see and hear people proclaiming they know the things that are only from what God knows, remember the warning of Jesus. When someone claims to be the Messiah, don't be deceived. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, and don't panic. Stand firm on God's holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Father, help us study your word and keep it in our heart, so that we will not be deceived by those who try to mislead us or lead us astray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as I begin this morning, I want to take a little bit of pastoral privilege, and I'm going to be heading out on vacation beginning tomorrow. I'll be gone for a week, and the plan was that take some time away and kind of celebrate my birthday, which is tomorrow, and then take some time off. And I end up this weekend also helping a roommate move. a former roommate. My mom's still living with me at my house. Just to be clear, I didn't kick her out or anything like that. But no, a college roommate was moving. They're moving into a new house in Ording, and so I was hauling all sorts of stuff down there. And lo and behold, I get a phone call. I get a phone call from another college roommate who happens to have a birthday near mine. He's actually here today. My good friend Mike Naccarato is sitting back there. You may remember that it wasn't that long ago that we were praying for Michael and his wife. As COVID broke out, he came back, but his wife wasn't on the same flight, and she was stuck in Russia, and he was here. And I can't remember how many months that was that you were separated, but 8 months, something like that, so you can imagine. But he's still doing his missionary work in Russia, and we're very good, very glad to have you here, Michael. Thank you for being here. And I feel okay still. I guess I'm still moving some things this afternoon, so I've been told. It's good to have long-term friends. Hey, as we prepare to go to God's Word, let's say a prayer. God, it is good to be gathered together. It is good to be gathered around your Word. We ask this morning that you would speak, for your servants are listening. Speak through your Word, Lord. Speak through me. Speak through the lyrics and the music. Speak through our fellowship together as we encourage and bless one another. Speak through your Holy Spirit, just filling us and touching our hearts. God, we are thankful that you are here, and we ask that you would bind distractions from us as we seek to focus on your Word this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing in our series, Casket Empty. We have casket up here. Casket represents the Old Testament, and if you think of a casket usually has something to do with death. And the Old Testament, the law, it doesn't get us anywhere, right? It's only through Christ. And so casket stands for creation, Abraham, Sinai, kings, which is where we are right now, the exile, and then the temple. And then empty is expectation, Messiah, Paul, teaching, and yet to come. So there's the whole thing kind of summarized. This is from two books that Carol Kaminsky put together, an Old and New Testament, a biblical scholar. She teaches at Gordon-Conwell. I think she's done a great job of summarizing the scripture altogether. So as we are going, we recognize that Israel started and they were going along, and we're just touching on the kings. And when the first king was to be decided upon, Israel was starting to walk away from God, which they've done numerous times throughout the scripture. We've witnessed that. But they started looking, rather than to God, they started looking and comparing themselves to everybody else. And they said, hey, we want to have a king like everyone else does. That's literally what they said. And so God said, okay, I'll give you a king just like everybody else has. And he selected Saul. And we remember that Saul was a king like everybody else. He stood head and shoulders above the rest, but he was more worried about what the people thought of him than what God thought of him. And so we see this relationship changing. And then we have King David. We talked about David last week. And David was considered a man after God's own heart, despite all of his failings. We know that he had a lot. God made a covenant with David called the Davidic covenant. And God makes this covenant, and it actually leads us all the way up, if we were to follow the chain of the promise through our casket. We start way back here with Adam. This blue line comes down here through David, and then we're going to see this happen this week. We're going to see this happen. And it goes on, and it would continue all the way to the Messiah. And so that's where the crowns and different things, and I'll explain those in a minute here. But God makes a covenant with David that leads all the way up. And the covenant is God's word to David. When he wants to build a when David wants to build a temple for God to reside in, and God tells David he is not the one that is going to build the temple, but his son, he assures David, will build the temple. And his son is Solomon. So we're going to read a little bit of the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant, I'm going to have Drew come on up here. He's all the way in the back, so it's going to take him a minute to get here. Drew, our reader in residence, as I like to refer to him. It sounds so university, doesn't it? All right, so he's going to read to us from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses...
From following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from you before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be distributed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all of your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words, and in accordance with all this vision, Nathan spoke to David. A reading from God's holy word.
Thank you, Drew. So David isn't to build the temple, but his son is. And we see, just as we did in the Abrahamic covenant, that there is a sense that through David, the world is going to be blessed, and that God will establish his throne forever. And who is his son? It's Solomon. So Solomon consolidates the kingdom of Israel. So we're going to take a peek now at the person that Solomon is, and I don't know if I've lost control of the slide, so I'll cue you, Scott, if I have. Let's see if this comes up. It did not. Thank you. So at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you? Or what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of a heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, to many to be numbered or counted for the multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, and that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" And then go on to Solomon there. Thank you. So Solomon is honored for his pursuit of wisdom. That's what he asks of God. He says, God, give me wisdom. I don't know how to lead all these people. And God gives him wisdom. It is said that there was no one as wise as he. In fact, he records 3,000 proverbs. He knows many songs, and his wisdom surpasses all the wisdom in Egypt. God also chooses to bless him with riches, something that Solomon did not ask for. Carol Kaminsky summarizes it this way in her book. Under the rule of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel is extended, and the surrounding nations bring tribute to the king. So even the surrounding nations are bringing it to Solomon. She goes on, since there is peace in the land, Solomon decides to begin construction on the temple in accordance with God's prior word that David's son would build God's house. And when Solomon dedicates the temple, almost 500 years, think about this, Solomon dedicates the temple almost 500 years after the Exodus from Egypt. So we remember the Exodus way back there, right? And the Israelites leave Egypt 500 years later, and God's glorious presence fills it. This has got to be one of the most climactic moments in the entire history of Israel, if you think about it, that they are led out of Egypt. They march on. They're trusting God. They're going forward. And then now they've got the temple. It's no longer that portable tabernacle that Moses had built, right, that they kept taking down and setting up and taking down and setting up as they're moving about. Now this is a permanent structure, and God's glory fills the temple. Still, we've got to remember that God's covenant with David and even Solomon was that he would dwell with his people only if Solomon and his sons walked in God's ways. So there's that challenge. Now, when we think of Solomon, when we're thinking of who Solomon was, we typically think of three things. We think of his wisdom, we think of his riches, and we think of his multiple wives and concubines. In 1 Kings 8:56 through 58, Solomon blesses God saying this, and if we can put that up on the screen, thank you. Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promises, which he spoke by this moment by Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let's leave that up there. So this prayer reminds us that forgiveness and mercy are not in our hands, it's in God's hands. God is the one who extends mercy. God is the one who extends forgiveness. God reminds Solomon again and again that if he and his sons do as the Lord commanded, keep the statutes and the rules of God, then God will establish Solomon's royal throne over Israel forever, just as he promised David. And what if he doesn't? Well, we go on to 1 Kings 9:6-7. But if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandment and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I have given them, and the house that I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all the peoples. That's a dire warning to Solomon. That's a dire warning not only to Solomon, but to all of Israel. Unfortunately, Solomon, if we look at his entire life, he does not walk in all the commands and statutes of God. He marries many foreign women. We know he had 700 wives. But he does that as a way of securing alliances and with the surrounding nations. So, I mean, who's going to go against their queen, right? So I'll just marry her, and then she'll be a queen, and then I've got this area as well. And this demonstrates his lack of trust in what God was doing, that God could make that country be subjected and join with Israel. Instead, he chooses to do it. Remember, God had commanded Israel not to marry foreign women because they would turn their hearts away from the Lord. That was the reason that God did not want the Israelites to be marrying foreign women. And not only does Solomon have 700 wives and 300 concubines, but many of these, as I said, are foreigners. And what they do is they bring their pagan religions with them. And so Solomon, not surprisingly, slowly starts to give in. I think we see this in our culture too. We see it in a lot of churches where I'm not saying our church, but in you'll see it where Christianity kind of gets watered down and other things get brought in instead of just sticking with God's word. God becomes angry with Solomon and announces his judgment against Solomon's idolatry later in Kings. And he takes the kingdom not from Solomon, but from his son. And so we'll see that division in Israel. What's going to happen here? So up to this point, we've had a united monarchy. We've had a united kingdom. And what we're going to see happen now is the kingdom's going to divide. You're going to get Rehoboam down here, which is just going to be Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And the other 10 tribes are all going to be up here, the divided kingdom. So it's going to be taken out of Solomon's lineage, out of Rehoboam's hands. 10 of the tribes are going to go a whole different way. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the coming weeks. So here's the question. What do we learn from Solomon? I think of what we learn can be summed up in the writings, some writings from the New Testament. And one I want to look at is just James 1:5, if we can put that up on the screen. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Which one of us does not need wisdom with the myriad of decisions we have to make? And God invites us to ask for wisdom. But let's be honest, how many of us do that? Yet in doing so, we need to recognize also that we need to be without reproach. And that's a fancy way of saying that we need to be without sin. And we remember Jesus saying, he who's without sin cast the first stone. We know that we've all sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. So does that leave us without a prayer? Absolutely not. We know from throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament that our God is able to forgive. Our God is able to turn aside his anger. That's what the sacrifices were for. That's what Jesus has done for us on the cross. We've seen it with David, who was not the purest of people. When we were looking at David, David breaks some of the big Ten Commandments that we think of, right? I mean, he not only committed adultery, he committed murder. And then he doesn't admit to it. And in that way, he's kind of lying about it. He's bearing false witness. Oh, nothing happened here. But when he repents, what happens? God forgives him. So yes, there's still consequences. There are consequences to our sins. There always will be a consequence to our sin. We don't sin in a vacuum. Yet our God is faithful and able to forgive us and restore us. Another thing we learn from Solomon is again summed up in James. And if we can put up verses 20 through to 25, and I apologize for not breaking that into a little bit smaller nugget so it was easier to read. I'll read it for you. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like." Can you imagine? "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Solomon at some point heard God's law. But at some point also, Solomon chose not to do it. He deceived himself by not doing it. And lastly, we learn from Solomon something that God's will is not thwarted by our human response. Even though Solomon and his sons might break God's covenant, God had made this promise to David. God had made this promise to Solomon, and that the promise was that God's covenant also will not be broken. And we talk about that now when we talk about covenant. As Christians, we talk about covenant that if I make a covenant with, well, even better, Lance and Carrie have made a covenant together in marriage. That's a covenant that can't be broken. Now, granted, we talk about divorce. We hear about divorce all the time. But in God's mind, even though one side might break that covenant, the other side doesn't. So when we as Christians, let's face it, we sin. If you haven't sinned, raise your hand. Don't see any hands. See? Told you. Okay, I'm glad you know. So as we go through our lives and we know we sin and we confess our sin, that does not break God's covenant. It breaks our portion of the covenant, but God is bigger than that. And so if we look at Jeremiah 33, 17. Did it actually come up? No. There we go. Thank you. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne in the house of Israel. So we're seeing God's promise, even though this happens, the division happens here, we see this blue line continue through Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, and remember that was promised way back here, that is where the Messiah would come from. It's going to come from Judah, all the way to the Messiah, okay? So even though David commits adultery with Bathsheba, he orchestrates the murder of her husband, God promises stand. Even though Solomon has 700 wives, many of them foreigners, and 300 concubines, and even though he turns and worships and sacrifices to other gods, there will still be a remnant left. And that remnant is going to continue. Even though that kingdom is going to be torn in two, the northern and southern kingdoms, the northern will compromise 10 tribes, comprise 10 tribes. The southern tribe will be Judah and Benjamin. Folks, it really comes down to one thing. Where is our focus? Is it upon God or is it upon the world? And this is a constant, not only outer battle, but it's a constant inner battle. And we need to ask God for wisdom in that. In Proverbs 13:20, if we can put that up, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. As we come to communion today, we are choosing our primary companion along this journey of this life, our Lord Jesus the Christ. And we are choosing our secondary companions as well, fellow believers in the Lord. We're choosing to continue to gather together, to worship and to praise and to encourage and lift up one another as we seek to follow the Lord, to obey God's holy word, and to shine the light of Christ to a needy world. As we prepare to make witness of all of that, I want us to just take some moments of silence, to be quiet, to quiet ourselves in preparation to receive this incredible sacrament that we call Holy Communion. Let's be quiet together. As we come to communion, I'm going to invite Actually, I don't have my bulletin. It's the next thing. Communion? Go ahead. Hymn of preparation. I'm going to invite the worship team up to lead us in a hymn of preparation, and then we will profess our faith together as we enjoy communion together. Thank you all. As we prepare for communion, it's always appropriate that we profess our faith together. And so I want to invite you to stand if you're able, and we will stand and proclaim our faith together. We're going to be using the Nicene Creed this morning. Let us profess our faith together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will once again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken by the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. It is truly a mystery when we come and experience the sacraments that God has for us. And as we come to celebrate Holy Communion, we are remembering that which Jesus and the disciples were remembering at that Last Supper that we are, in essence, celebrating. As they were gathered there together, they were gathered there to celebrate the Passover. And if you remember our Old Testament history, we go all the way back to the Israelites. They're in Egypt, and Moses is saying, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh is saying, "No." And Moses repeats the thing, and you have the 10 plagues and all of that that is happening. And the 10th plague is the plague of death. And as the plague of death happens, the Israelites are instructed to put blood, the blood of the lamb, on their doorposts and their door frames. And when the angel of death comes, which it does come, it passes over Israel because of the blood of the lamb. The angel of death sees the blood and it passes over Israel. So the firstborn of every living thing dies except for Israel. And so Pharaoh says, "I'll let you go." And Israel, that begins the whole Exodus that we see in the Old Testament. And so Jesus is remembering the Passover. But he's also pointing forward to what it means that through Christ, that death, that eternal death, can pass over us. That we might have eternal life through Christ Jesus. That's the whole reason we gather here on Sundays. That's the whole reason that we gather and worship and profess our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the whole reason why we have an empty cross. Is because Jesus rose again. The disciples, as they were celebrating that meal, they did not know that Jesus would rise again. They knew, had a concept of resurrection, but they didn't know what Jesus' death would mean even at that time. You can see that in how scared they are after the arrest and how scared they are that after his death. And yet we know, being Christians of the 21st century and having our Bibles, we know that Jesus did rise again, that Jesus did walk among the disciples again, that Jesus did let them know that there is eternal life. And so we come around this table and we remember. We remember Jesus and we proclaim his death until his return. That's a weird thing. Proclaim his death? Yes, because he died for us. He died that we might live. He died. We need to remember that there was a death, that sin has a consequence. I love what Paul writes in to the Galatians when he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." That even Paul says, "I am dead in my sins, but I am alive in Christ." That's what gives us life. That's what gives us hope. That's what brings us together on a Sunday morning. Let's pray and ask God to set these elements aside and remind us again of his love. Let's pray. Holy God, we gather around this table, a table that is open to all those who profess a faith in you. And we gather to remember. We ask now, Lord, that you would set aside these elements, this bread, this juice, the juice and the wafer that we have in our little COVID-safe cups. And God, we ask that you would bless them, that you would multiply them in us, that as we receive these elements, Lord, we ask that we might also know that we receive your grace, that you might lavish it upon us. You have lavished it upon us with all wisdom and love. God, help us be people that live in that grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night in which Jesus was to be betrayed, he did gather at that meal with his disciples. And he gathered around the table, and after giving thanks, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." That's the message of the gospel. That's the message of communion, for us to remember and to proclaim that death. I invite you to take your cup. There's two layers of cellophane. Remember not to open it sideways. We're going to take off that top layer and take that bread. Christ's body has been broken for us. Take and eat in remembrance of him. And remember the cup. It reminds us of Christ's blood poured out for us. Christ's blood has been shed for you. Drink in remembrance of him. Will you pray with me, please? God, you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son, that if we believe in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life through him because of his death and his resurrection. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never, even though he dies, he will live." God, I pray that as we have partaken of this bread as a reminder, of this cup as a reminder, that we would know that we live with your Holy Spirit filling us, and we live through Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very appropriate when we come to worship. Worship literally means offering. We are offering ourselves to God in worship. That's what we do. And so every Sunday we take an offering as well. And so I invite you to bring your tithes and gifts. As you know, in this time of COVID, we have our collection plate on the back altar there. But as you want to prepare your offering or prepare yourselves however you're doing it, however God is leading you, we invite you to think about how to give to God of your time, talents, and treasure. And I'm going to invite our worship team up to lead us in our reflection on our offering.
Give thanks.
Please stand for the doxology. We'll make it our prayer for our offerings.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated.
As we come to prayers of the people, there are many that are listed in your bulletin, and I'm just going to highlight a few of those. I do want you to know that many of you have been praying for Daryl. If you're on our prayer chain, you know that he was in quite a bit of pain on Friday night, was admitted to Good Sam's, and he ended up having surgery very early in the morning on Saturday morning and is recovering. My understanding is he's recovering well. He does thank you for your prayers. This has been quite an ordeal for him. So we want to continue to pray for him. I apologize. I have a note that is now sitting in my office, and I didn't have time to run all the way down the hall, grab it off my desk, and bring it here. But Carolyn, can you remind me of, is Rayona here? No, she's stepped out. So can you remind me of Rayona's prayer?
Yes, it was for Mark and Linda Walrath. They, both of their fathers are dying in the hospice care.
Okay.
And she wanted us to pray for peace
and comfort. So Mark and Linda. And both. Yeah, so we'll be praying for them. Both of them are both of their partners?
Fathers.
Both their fathers are dying. See, it's hard to hear up here. Both their fathers are dying and are in hospice, so we want to be praying for them. So thank you. I apologize for not having that right here. We want to, and there's a whole list that is there that we want to continue to pray for. So as I said, I'm going to highlight just a few of these. So let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we come before you and we are thankful to be able to have communion and celebrate it together. We're thankful to be a people of prayer and that you hear our prayers and respond to them. We thank you for successful brain surgery to relieve a bleed after an accident. And we continue to lift up to you, Jamie. We lift up to you also our friend and elder, Daryl, as he continues to deal with this cancer issues and all the little things that come up with that. We're thankful for a successful surgery on Friday night, early Saturday morning. God, we are thankful that we can come and we can pray and we can be excited about times of giving and able to celebrate you. God, I pray and thank you for the ministry of Michael and his wife. God, I thank you for the many orphans that they minister to in Russia. I thank you that you are able to allow them to go back and forth between here and Russia, that you keep them safe. And I just ask for your hand of mercy to go with him as he prepares to travel again back to Russia and be reunited again with his wife. And thank you for their ministry that they have there. We thank you for the ministry that we have here. We thank you so much for those that are very crafty and are able to create a multitude of scarves and mittens and hats and all of that. I specifically thank you for Jody and for Barb and their contribution this morning that's all there on the back table. God, we know that we have a whole list here, but we also know that you know our prayers even before we speak them. We thank you that you've given us a prayer that can cover all of them. So we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So I'm just going to do a couple quick announcements. Deacons meeting will be on the 21st, and our session meeting is going to be taking place on the same day. And so please be aware of that. It's going to be happening. Operation Christmas Child, the collection week is November 15th through the 22nd, so we would like you to bring any of your shoeboxes if you haven't filled one, or if you want to fill one, or you want to make a donation for one. We would ask that you would bring that next week so that we can get those sent on. And we have the pre-order for the Advent devotional. The cost is $20.10, so apparently it's a little bit more than we thought, but that's okay. Well, I don't know where the 10 cents came from, but it's up there. So if you are interested, please see Lance or Carrie. They'd be happy to help you. And then I'm assuming something with the Elf Squad? Okay. Something with the Elf Squad. And look who keeps coming. Here come our elves, and here comes our queen elf. And I'll let you guys make your announcement.
Give me a head start. So I just wanted to let you know that today the Christmas tree is up. Why is the Christmas tree up on the first Sunday of November? Oh, let me tell you why the Christmas tree is up the first Sunday of November. The St. Francis House helps hundreds of families for Christmas. Everything that we donate to them, they prepare in their building. And people make appointments to come, and they actually let the families shop, the parents shop for their kids. It takes a long time for that to take place. So whenever we go shopping, which we will be doing today, we would like an extra prayer for that. Whenever we go shopping, we show it to you, and then we immediately take it down to the St. Francis House. So the earlier we can get all of these products, the more families can be helped, because they start, it takes them weeks to get all these appointments through. So it's not that everything is given out on Christmas Eve. They start very soon. So that's why we are starting as early as we can to get all as much as we can to help them with their families and their shopping. So that's why the tree is up today.
In their defense, I've heard that as soon as Halloween is past, it's okay to start singing Christmas carols. So, you know, hey, there we go. So with that, and be aware, again, for Operation Christmas Child, we do ask that those boxes would be back here by next Sunday. That just makes it a lot easier for us because the collection times, as we said, are the 15th through the 22nd. With that, let us stand. Where is our parting hymn? Is it Make Me a Blessing? Okay. It's just the benediction and the parting hymn are flipped.
You are a blessing.
Thank you. As are you.
Please stand if you're able.
Oh, shucks.
Make me a blessing, make me
you trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed, unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine, make me a blessing.
Sometimes our worship team can kind of cause me to think of the Muppets. But anyway. I love these guys. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all we can ask or even imagine, to him be all glory, honor, and praise as Christ's love shines out from you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace.
So were they doing this? Yes. They were doing this way. We missed out. We weren't paying attention.
You were, we were singing.
I got my left eye peripheral vision here like.
Ezekiel went down and got on board. Chariot went a bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't so particular about the bumping of the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy.
Well, I got a home.
Side.
Well, I got a father in the promised land.